I'm Mike Willen Smith, and this is House Rules. Welcome to episode 24. The first decorating book I ever bought is called A Perfectly Kept House is the Sign of a Misspent Life. It's by Mary Randolph Carter. I found it at the clearance section of Anthropology about 13 years ago. It was a few years before I wrote my own first decorating book. This book truly changed my life. I remember being torn about buying it. I had never invested in a decorating book, and I had always only purchased magazines if there were lots of photos that I wanted my house to look just like. This book, it was messy, and it had fake coffee stains on the cover and intentional scribbles on the inside pages. Most of the photos were overwhelming and a little bit chaotic, but as I read the works, the spirit of the book is what got my attention. Then I came across page 79 and I was sold. It wasn't that I wanted to copy the house, the room, or the sofa. I wanted to copy the attitude. By the end of today's episode, you'll learn two mantras. Maybe you could call them attitude adjustments that will help you add more personality and meaningful beauty to your home. My friend Kendra, you might know her as the Lazy Genius, visited our new-to-us home for the first time and remarked that seeing our vintage stuffed fox, the pheasant, and the pronghorn mount, along with the rabbit pelts and antlers around the house, made her momentarily question if she should add some taxidermy to her own home. She quickly realized that taxidermy was not the reason she liked our house, and that it was the layers, the coziness, and the functionality that made her feel welcome. But the dead animals, as she pointed out, also added a sense of life and texture, and that's what she noticed first. Then she declared that she was going to find her own version of taxidermy. Well, I declared her brilliant and decided that needed to be a house rule, so here we are. I believe that the uniquely personal sense of self that quirky taxidermy adds to our home is the cherry on top. When it comes down to it, it's just weird and a little bit unexpected, and it works. Keep Austin Weird has got to be pretty much the best slogan in Texas and possibly the world, and I think we should apply that to our homes too. Let's make home weird again. I do think we should define weird, because if we don't, it could literally get ugly, but maybe that's part of the fun. Adding a sense of weirdness is kind of like adding a signature piece to your home. You know, when a person gives you that not quite, but almost compliment of, oh, I love that for you, pointing out something that's good for you, but maybe not for them. Let's apply that to decorating and maybe make it a goal to add something weird or just a tiny bit quirky or unexpected to our homes. If that scares you, great. Make it tiny. You could sneak it in. I like to think that we all have weird stuff hiding somewhere and that we should embrace it. What do you love? What are you obsessed with? What do you want to be surrounded by? Pull it out of storage and put it on a shelf. It might be weird or odd or a crazy curiosity, or it might simply be meaningful to you in a way that no one else needs to know. Every home should reflect the people who live there in its own unique way, and every space deserves to be weird if it wants. So the first way to change or update your attitude in your home is to do what Kendra suggested. Go find your own version of taxidermy and display it proudly. All right, so back to that page in the book I was telling you about at the beginning of the episode. As I was flipping through the book, I stopped on a page that featured a room that had really high ceilings with a pair of super tall windows. You could kind of see out the windows just enough to figure out that across the street was a brownstone type of building, and it kind of made you assume that the room itself must be well over 100 years old. The room had a formal feel, but not to worry, it was not stuffy at all. The walls were empty and white with decorative molding all painted white. The floor looked like it had a classic, maybe an oriental rug or a vintage rug, and the furniture silhouettes were all reminiscent of a fancy-ish style. But the lighting, hanging in the center of the room, It looked like a bunch of branches just wrapped in Christmas lights. And wait, that sofa. It kind of looked like a Duncan Fife sofa style. I learned about that in my 6 months of design school. It had a classic shape. It was almost a reverse camelback. It had wood trim on the edges, but the fabric. That's what really grabbed your attention. At first, it looked like some type of Americana graffiti fabric. The sofa was off-white, and the fabric looked red and blue. Maybe like a firework, or wait, does that say Peter? Suddenly, as you look closer, you see a smiley face. What is happening in this fancy high-end room? I had to know more, so right there in the anthropology, I stopped and I read about the room. It turns out that the sofa was designed by none other than John Darien, and Pamela, the mother and owner of this page-stopping room, wasn't sure what fabric she wanted on the sofa. So until she decided, she had it finished in everyday, basic, plain, off-white muslin. It was a placeholder until she knew exactly what she wanted. Okay, I'm going to read the next part straight from the book. Pamela explained that a year had gone by and she still couldn't decide what to upholster the sofa with. So one evening when her daughter had a party and some of her friends were sitting in a corner looking kind of left out, she spontaneously grabbed a handful of fabric pins and stirred up the crowd with, "Do you guys want to paint the couch?" In a minute, the pins were gone and the sofa became the life of the party. Ever since then, whenever young and not so young friends stop by, the pins are passed out to add a peace sign or another stylized signature to the sofa's crazy maze of colorful hieroglyphics. It's become the family's supersized guestbook. Y'all, I'm in love with this. I think this works especially well because the setting is formal, the sofa feels a bit formal, and almost everything else in the room is grown up and serious. So Pamela combined the opposites, and the result was and is relatable, charming, meaningful, remarkable, and I think really beautiful. Okay, I know you're dying to now see this photo, so I'm going to be sure to get a photo of it and give it to Carrie so she can add it to the landing page for this episode in the show notes. You've got to see it. So I'm not telling you that you need to let your kids paint your sofa. I'm not telling you that your home needs taxidermy. What I'm telling you is that your home needs you. It wants a surge of your personality. What's meaningful for your family? Where do you find joy in the world? What's important to you and what matters? Okay, but how do we start? The art over my fireplace began its life at a big box store. It was a $49 canvas with a white globe. It was printed on a black background. It's a pretty recognizable piece of what I call fart, factory-made art, that I bought for our son when we were doing a quick makeover for his room. After a few years, it had served its purpose, and I was loading it up to drop off at the Goodwill, and I realized if I ever needed a canvas this size, of course, it would be cheaper to keep the fart and paint over it than go to the craft store and buy a brand new empty canvas. So a few weeks later, of course, I needed to fill a big wall. So I grabbed that canvas, and I laid it on a big sheet to protect the floor, and I just gathered all the craft paint and cans of wall paint that I had in neutral colors. Over the course of a few days, I poured, spattered, and layered paint on the canvas, and because I used my own wall paint, it looked pretty great everywhere in my house. These days, it gets moved around. This was the least risky DIY I have ever done in my life, because I had nothing to lose. I was going to literally give the canvas away. It was more work to drive the canvas to the Goodwill than to keep it, so you could say I took the lazy way out. You can't ruin something you already hate, which is the second attitude change I want you to embrace. This is exactly what happened with Pamela and her designer sofa. It was temporarily covered in plain muslin. And it wasn't that she hated it, but it was a placeholder until she chose her real fabric. So believe it or not, the risk was low to let a bunch of kids draw all over it. Maybe it would just spur her on to go ahead and finally make a fabric decision, or maybe she'd end up falling in love with it and it would get featured in a book about beautiful imperfection. Before investing in a $200 dresser from Facebook Marketplace for your first ever makeover, asking your husband to drive across town and load it up, and then painting it in the driveway in view of every curious neighbor, start with what you have. Learn in private without an audience who will question your every move. Is there any little random piece of furniture in your garage or dining room or attic that you've been giving dirty looks to because you hate the color? Start with that. Start with a thing that's already so not your style that the worst that could happen is you still dislike it. What if the best actually happens and you love it? Today's episode features house rule number 94, find your own taxidermy, and house rule number 7, you can't ruin something you already hate. Those are just two of the 100 house rules included in the brand new book called House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. House Rules is available everywhere books are sold April 23rd, 2024. If you are listening before that date, you're lucky. You can pre-order and reserve your copy now as a thank you for pre-ordering. We've created a new masterclass called House Rules in Action. I invited a video crew to my home and we walked through the rooms of my house and I shared which rules help me make decisions in every room. But that's not all. You'll also receive the audiobook free. That's a thank you gift again for pre-ordering. You need to claim your bonus, but the audiobook includes 5 extra house rules and of course I'm going to read them to you. There's a link in the show notes for you to order your copy and to claim your gifts. And don't forget to go look at that landing page so you can see a photo of this amazing sofa that we talked about. Thank you.